Taxation is theft.
Please, at least leave us alone in our living room.
My job is to find the truth.
Double the taxes.
I'm a human being. God damn it. My life has value.
Triple the taxes.
This is an IRS agent's dream.
If you think that the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourself.
Beautiful, lovely taxes.
Sorry, but I don't do taxes.
Did you see the memo about this?
The government is a greedy piglet.
Just leave us alone.
Do you know what Ralph just said?
The roads.
You boys like Mexico?
I'm as bad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
And we are live. Welcome back. Taxation is theft. And I have today with me the wonderful tyrant you can trust, Vermin Supreme. Welcome. I didn't realize you were bilingual.
Yes, thank you. A little bit Flemish, if you will.
Awesome. So for those of you who don't know, Vermin is the guy who's running against me. He's my main challenger in the Libertarian primaries. He's he's the guy that makes me look like I'm not crazy.
Yeah.
Other side. I'm on your
very good thing too.
I can't see what you're pointing at. Are you
I'm pointing at you on my screen.
Other side.
Okay, I'm sorry. I got a little disoriented. I'll be pointing at you now.
There we go.
I should have cleaned my fingernails before the show, shouldn't I? Apologize.
Man, and you're running for president? How can we take you seriously?
Well, grooming costs extra, but, you know, what do you want? I mean, well, once again, my style will change immeasurably if I am the chosen candidate, nominee for the Libertarian nomination. If so, you will see a much better groomed and slightly better smelling Vermin Supreme on the campaign trail. Let me assure you this.
Well, you had me and then you lost me, because I was just about to say, if you can cut the budget anywhere, that's less taxes. But now you're saying you're gonna start. I'm imagining like $800 million pedicures and things like that. Is that what we're expecting?
$700 haircut here and there. But once again, I'm a very thrifty Yankee candidate. I've gotten very far on very little over the years. I've kept my budget just a little bit under the $5,000 that would have ever required me to register with the FEC. And quite frankly, I believe I have gotten more for that money than probably any other fringe candidate on the market. Thank you very much.
Yeah, it's funny how that works. When you work with a little, you actually get really far compared to these guys spending $1 billion on their races. Where the hell is that money going?
Yes, that's I would say that's very diminished returns that they're going for. It seems that the the people who vote more or less split down the middle, it seems, or at least those who vote are. And it seems like it's just a few points either way can throw the game in either direction. And that is where they're spending the billions of dollars on. It's for a very small percentage of the American voter, I think, when it comes right down to it. And there you go.
Interesting. All right, so let's...
I, as a candidate, will appeal to that very confused, undecided electorate. I believe that Vermin Supreme on the ballot in all 50 states would offer a very clear choice to the American public.
So let me ask you this. Is it true that a Vermin Supreme is just a regular vermin with extra guacamole and sour cream?
There is that. Yes, I would not deny that. I believe that's a fairly accurate assessment. And I think there are actually several memes to that effect. So absolutely, sir.
All right.
Now, is there any truth to the name, to the fact that your name itself, Vermin, that you somehow chose this name to try and confuse the voting public with myself, Vermin? Is
See, I was actually thinking the same thing. I was thinking that you were trying to be like Bizarro Berman.
Well, there are any number of dimensions and universes in which I am campaigning at any given time, so it is certainly not beyond the realm of possibilities that that could very well be the case. In fact, quite frankly, I've never seen the two of us together, other than right here, and that could be some sort of futuristic digital trickery.
Yeah, this could be pre-recorded and pre-edited.
Let's say side by side. Let's check out these facial features. Well, yeah,
two eyes, a nose.
You could be a younger me. I could be an older you. It's very true.
That's an interesting theory. So what are you, like a good 10 years older than me? 10 years into the future, I decide to change my name, change my hat, go with something a little bit.
Time, established 30 years of running. Could happen. Anything could happen.
All right. Well, before we get started, I just want to, give everyone the opportunity. If you have any questions, go ahead and stick them in the comments right here. I see everybody's commenting Berman 2020. And my friend, my friend Frank Gomez actually just joined, and he actually told me this was, I don't know what, 10 years ago when you the first time you ran for president. My friend Frank Gomez was the guy who said, have you heard of this guy, Vermin Supreme? Go check out this video. This was like before YouTube was even really a thing. You were probably like the first video on YouTube at that point, I think.
I remember my first video on YouTube. It was somebody who captured me during the 2008 Republican convention in Minneapolis. And essentially, you know, and I thought I was off duty. I didn't know anybody was filming me. But I was, in fact, at that moment accusing the Republicans of being necrophiliacs for fucking the war dead and like that. It frightened me because I usually don't go there. And I think it was a little harsh. It was a harsh thing to say. And I felt at the time that although I was delivering a message that I felt was consistent with my constituents, when I saw it on YouTube, I said, holy shit, I'd better put on some more content and flood that stuff off of there. And I did.
And so here we are.
Yes. And meanwhile, 20 years later, lots of YouTube content. And you can barely even find that particular offensive bit of bad taste. Thank you very much.
I'm going to go looking for it. I mean, yes. It's is it bad taste or is it pointing out the bad taste of the Republicans?
Well, I need that too. It was after they nominated Sarah Palin there, so there was electricity in the air, and of course, me being me, it has certainly given me a very wide leeway in the amount of behavior, acceptable behavior. It seems that a lot of times I can act well above the norms and the conventions of polite society, and that the people who enjoy that, fans, voters, constituents, Americans, and others, seem to very much appreciate that. And they give me, they empower me to have this license, much like the current parallel dimension president and his particular cult of followers.
So, and sorry for the barking in the back. That's my dog who's been extremely sensitive today towards anyone walking by the front door.
What's your name? What's your dog's name?
This one is Bonbon. Bombi, we call her. That's the barky
Bonbon.
One.
Bonbon. Woof. She.
Yeah, I've got my headset in, so she can't hear.
Are you safe? Are you there freely? Bonbon, can you hear me?
No, she's not. She's totally having her nap violated and prisoner to this place that. But she gets free food, so.
Let Bonbon go. Let Bonbon go. Free Bonbon. Free. Take Bonbon for a walk. Take. Once again, I'm the only candidate who will offer canines the right to vote. So there is that.
Well, see, if she had the right to vote, she would just literally put her paws on everything and vote more than once, which would end up in a discarded ballot.
Well, my liver's going to smell really funky.
That sounds like the system's rigged there. So let's talk ponies, because you're kind of a big government advocate of redistribution of ponies
Well, I would not say redistribution of ponies.
So where are the ponies coming from?
That itself is a misnomer and indicates perhaps a fundamental miscomprehension of ponynomics, if you will.
All right.
It's all about supply and demand. And when the people demand their ponies, the invisible hoof will deliver them.
From where exactly?
Mic drop. Boom! other dimensions, outer space. Have you not heard of the interdimensional space pony people, brother? Are you not up on the latest crazy conspiracy theories?
I hear some of the theories.
All here in my new book.
Uh-huh. iPony.
Blueprint for a New America.
So you're a little bit taller in person than on your portrait there.
Yes. Seth was trying to make me look like a garden gnome, I believe. A very important constituency. In fact, did you know that there was an actual fetish devoted to garden gnomes?
No. Sure. Does it have a name?
Gnomography? Does that work? I don't know. On a related note, how about those pony fetish people? Are you familiar with them?
I have heard about that.
They are a super real thing, and they are a sizable majority of Americans, believe it or not, and 5 out of 7 of them support my candidacy. It's all right here in my new book, Vermin Supreme Presents iPony Blueprint for a New America.
Oh, great. It's a picture book.
It's absolutely a picture book. I've got like 15 different amazing artists on this sucker. Let me see if we can look at some of them. See, that's the future. That's the future libertarians want right there. Can you dig it? I know that you can. Yes.
Is that an ice cream cone walking an alligator?
Absolutely. Damn Skippy it is. Now, this is a depiction. Originally, I thought the artist was depicting the Wizard of Oz doors in Oz. But no, it is, in fact, the quarantined cabinet, the wardrobe cabinet that will take you to Narnia. You know about Narnia, Dan?
Yeah, yep. I've heard of that one.
Narnia. It's a place that I hope to invade during my tenure as president of America.
Now, why would you want to invade them? They seem like such a peaceful people.
Well,
except for that crazy queen. But I thought she died.
I wish I had have highlighted some of these passages in advance, so I wouldn't have to be skimming through the book to look for the appropriate passage to describe exactly the situation which we were talking about. So maybe I'll just pick out things at random at some point.
That usually seems to work out the best.
In the meantime, I'm going to show you a very controversial photograph that may get you zucked. This is because it is true that pony erotica does play quite a crucial role in the future, and that's a picture of it. Yep. Okay.
Very nice. Shit! The stream just cut out. That was fast. No, I'm kidding.
Dude, you are such a kidder. Dan, is it all right if I call you Dan?
Yeah.
Hi, Dan.
Hey.
Hi, viewers. Do we have any viewers?
Yeah, we've got about 40 going on right now.
Yeah, baby. Woo! So, you have made a very wise choice this evening, tuning in to this stream. This is a stream that just could change your life, if not change your mind as to why Vermin Supreme is a madman and must be stopped. Because that is the uptake of this book. It's a warning from the people of the future that if they do not get it together, then this will come to pass.
All right, that's fair enough. So Ben's asking in the comments if this is a coloring book.
It is, in fact, a coloring book. We highly encourage you, the purchaser of this book, the reader of this book, the looker of at the pictures in this amazing picture book, that yes, definitely we want. Look, there's Nina Paley. Nina Paley did that. She's famous. She's a famous cartoonist. Yep.
Nice.
And so, yeah, bust out those crayons. We will be having contests. It's available at iponybook.com or iponythebook.com. It'll just redirect to us. Thank you. Let's see here. Where was I?
I'm gonna make a note of that so I can make sure to put it in the comments. What was it? iPony.
iPony, Blueprint for a New America.
But is iPony.com?
Yes. No, iPony. No, iPony book or iPonythebook.com.
iPony. Okay. So yeah, what's funny is
scooped up iPony.com.
If you
don't know where that goes, some pony shit.
Yeah. if you put in iPony, autocorrect changes it to irony.
Ah, here we go. I found the portion of the book that I wanted to read to you this evening as part of the Narnian information campaign that I'm waiting. And once again, of course, this is a book that takes place in the future, long after my presidency, long after all Americans have their ponies, after the dental police have set up their checkpoints every couple hundred yards, after zombie power fuels the nation, and after time travel is a commonplace tool for foreign affairs. And so this story, I'll set this scene for you. This is when Asher finally made it to class after making it through the dental checkpoint, after the secret dental police pretty much had them on the ground at gunpoint because he caused the dental inspector to stab his dental tool into his pony's gums by accident. Long story short, we'll start by reading the words of then-President Vermin's Supreme Declaration of War. Mr. Smith began, Mr. Smith being the teacher, of course. And I'll read it as if though I were myself, which I am. As your president, I have promised to engage only in hostilities only with those I deem to be a real and imminent danger to our peace-loving nation. The children read the words as they appeared in the air, screened through the giant holographic head of Vermin Supreme, slowly rotating in the classroom. That is why I have ordered the Strategic Air Command to begin the bombing of Narnia in 5 minutes. In this time of need, we must unite as a nation. I hope you will pray and join me and pray for our terrible, flying, unmanned killer robots as they rain fire and death upon our subhuman enemy. The hologram shook its giant fist in the air as holographic laser shooting flying robo bunnies flew around the giant head of America's first post-Constitution president. Digital flames erupted around the classroom, perfectly timed with the surround sound explosions and the digital smoke. The theme song of America welled up. Learning American history had never been so much fun.
Nice.
That's from the book here, iPony.
I'm waiting for iPony the movie already.
It could be very, very exciting.
Or at least iPony the cartoon.
Now you might be asking yourself, how can you obtain such a copy of such a beautiful book? And in addition to just buying it outright through iponythebook.com, you could get one absolutely free. And how might that be? You might be asking yourself.
That sounds like socialism.
Dan, thank you, Dan. Yes, you can get one absolutely free if you donate $50 campaign contribution to my presidential campaign fund, Pony Up America. It's our 527, and you can kick it to PayPal. PonyUpAmerica@gmail.com is our current address. But we can also take all sorts of crazy cryptocurrencies and other barely real and barely legal currencies, and certainly fiat currencies and credit card debt currencies, all that shit. And you can get this book. You can, like I say, you can get it for free with $50. Now, what if Dan, I see you just asking yourself, well, Vermin, what would I get if I gave Vermin Supreme a $100 campaign contribution towards his presidential campaign? Well, friend, not only would you get this amazing book, A Look at the Future with Vermin Supreme, but you would actually get one of these amazing, can we get a close up here? Hold on, let me unplug, but remind me to plug in so we don't lose things. Okay, hold on, here we go. These are the Vermin Supreme glitter ties. It's a little tricky because I can't really see what's going on.
Ah, I've seen those. Those are popular.
See how they sparkle? Yeah, you're nothing unless you have a giant sparkle tie autographed by Vermin Supreme in glitter. So you would get that, and you would get the book, and not only that, but I mean, I think this sort of makes it official. But I got stickers now, and I check this shit out. This came in with the printer today. I mean, they were cheap. I mean, they were like cheap enough, but they came in a giant effing roll.
Nice. I've got a similar one, and I kind of had a bone to pick with you about this because I got this from you at the 2016 convention.
No.
What's this all about, man?
I don't think you got that from me. Are you sure you didn't get that from like Bill Weld or something? It looks more like something Bill Weld might put out. I'm not really sure.
It's got your name on it.
Can I see that? Can you show that to me? I mean, it could be one of those dirty tricks, man. Hold on. What does the other part say? I see my – wait.
Was this from one of the alternate universes where a different vermin –
Does it say a Misinformed Citizens Bureau on there somewhere?
No.
Does it not?
No?
Oh, okay. It should.
Was that part of a Misinformed Citizens campaign?
Absolutely, yeah. The Misinformed Citizens Bureau, one of my subdivisions. I can see that we were probably trying to jam a couple – oh, right. I remember what it was. It was my printer – you'll notice on there that the Vermin Supreme stickers, where that was in the previous edition, it said Misinformed Citizens Bureau.
I see. I will tell you this. In your defense, I have, if I can get my laptop up here, without pulling my camera out.
That's right. Whoa. Where'd he go?
Can you see me?
Now's your big chance, everybody. I think your camera's off on my monitor.
It was still streaming, but here, oh, okay, you can see it.
I see what's happening there. Vote yes on no, no on yes. Absolutely. Yeah. So, vote for me, you'll be impressed.
So in your defense, I do have that one on my laptop.
Yes. Yeah, so a friend of mine actually altered the Police Are Your Friends to read The Lice Are Your Friends, and he put it on his phone, and when the police would come up to his vehicle, he would start scratching, and they left him alone every time. So,
nice.
So there's that.
That's a good dual
use technology.
I'm going to try that one. So Brent's asking, he's asking a question that I'm not asking that you should know he's asking because you should be able to see him asking, how does he get an autographed copy of the book?
Oh, that will cost you a little bit extra. Direct message me, I guess, because I would have to mail it to you directly, and wrap it up, and I'll throw glitter in it, and
to ask, you can't afford it.
Yeah, like I say, it retails for $20, $50 campaign contribution. I'll send it to you with the autograph, or if you just kicked in a little extra, or whatever, it's all good.
Cool. Let's see. I'm just reading through the comments to see if there's... Yeah, don't hurt yourself there.
This is the Donald Trump water drinking reference. Thank you.
Oh, is that how he does it? I don't pay attention to politics, really.
It's a very famous meme video of him using both hands to lift up a small water bottle.
Oh.
And I think I will perhaps segue into Marco Rubio drinking a glass of water, because he was very famous for that during one of the debates. So we'll start with the Trump. Lifting up like Trump, and then Marco Rubio. Spit take my own. Thank you. Okay.
Nice. Let's see. So I guess this guy's a Spaceballs fan. He wants iPony the lunchbox.
I think we can hopefully make that happen. But we have the Vermin Supreme online store just waiting. It's almost open, and when it does open, it will be the official campaign stop, and it is linked directly to my 527 Pony Up America. I see none of that money because, once again, we're going to be raising a fair amount of money for this campaign, and I don't want any of it anywhere near me personally. It's all running through the campaign. It's all running through my treasurer. Every nickel and dime is accounted for. Money comes in. I mean, the 527 is great. I mean, if you have a political organization, a 527, essentially what it allows you to do is raise money and spend money. It's a tax, not-for-profit, tax-exempt organization. So for a politician, for example, the more they raise, the more they can spend. And, of course, that does include travel for the campaign and associated expenses, pizza for volunteers, and hopefully a live pony. I am still have well within my goals the federal election matching funds, which is part of my fundraising strategy for 2020. If one can raise $5,000 in each of 20 states in contributions less than $250, the Federal Election Commission will match that. So not only will one have raised $100,000, that becomes $200,000, and every dollar on that, on top of that, gets doubled. Now, once again, Dan, I can see your devious little mind saying, hey, man, that's like tax money. That's theft money. That's money that the government is ripping off of the people. And, well, that would normally be a very accurate assessment, but in this particular instance, it is not so. The money that individuals check off this little box to contribute freely and voluntarily into the public funding of federal elections. Now, granted, and I will grant the fact that this little checkoff box does appear on the tax form. However, once they check that box off, that little portion of it is voluntary. The fact that the government is pointing a gun at their head to fill out the rest of the form, that's on them. You know, what can I say? Thank you.
I mean, that's a pretty fair assessment. I mean, that's the same argument of, well, it's not stealing if you get something in return, right? That we hear all the time.
If you are voluntarily purchasing or voluntarily donating some money towards a particular earmarked cause, yes. I mean, would you feel better? I mean, we all know taxation is theft, but would you feel better if it was more of the voluntary contribution where people are given the opportunity to check off the boxes or decide where their money goes, similar to ranked choice voting? And we would include none of the above.
Well, as long as none of the above is there, and none of the above means you have to pay zero in the first place, then absolutely that's voluntary.
Exactly. And that would be enough to finance civilized society. I am sure of it, by golly.
I think so.
Because Americans are very generous people. Americans want to see shit get done. And Americans do not mind rolling up their sleeves and donating to the causes that they know make a difference. Quick plug for I'll be interviewing on the LM community radio thing podcast this Friday. And, you know, they do good works. You know, it seems that all these people chip in a little bit and the kitty gets big and they are able to do good works and good causes. And that is a very important thing to me. Let me tell you, Dan, I mean, you know, if you go back far enough, I mean, okay, at one point in my career, and it's not too hard to find, yeah, I badmouthed libertarians. Okay, fine. That was 2008. Fine. I'm fessing up to it. You'll see stories where I might be quoted as claiming libertarians have no soul. But once again, that was before I knew libertarians. Like any type of prejudice one might hold, it seems that if you're not meeting the people, you just don't know. And so I had a preconceived notion, a prejudice, if you will. But once I started working with and traveling through and in libertarian communities, I had a much greater understanding of how, in fact, generous they are and how willing they are to support various causes and people that are in need in their communities. And for this, this made a whole world of difference for me. I come from, you know, a sort of a Kropotkin left anarchist perspective, perhaps, originally. And that's not a secret because I'm a Kropotkin man. But mutual aid. Mutual aid to me is very important. Now, of course, it's all in the frame and it's all in the semantics almost. I mean, I have met libertarians who were afraid of the words mutual aid. They were afraid it sounds like some sort of commie shit.
Right.
But that's just simply not my understanding. I mean, it's a completely voluntary thing. Nobody's forcing you to help anybody. It's we help each other because we want to help each other and we want to help each other succeed. It comes out of a selfless place. I will say that originally, and sometimes, I mean, just the word charity sounds so top down. It sounds so cast offish and disposable that was one of the original problems that I had as a person coming from a more left tradition with because you hear words trigger you. They trigger your understanding and that was one of the semantic divides that I was able to cross, which allowed me to mesh and dovetail my beliefs with that of the libertarians and the Libertarian Party. I mean, when it came right down to it, I mean, I realized, you know, I have so much in common with the movement in terms of anti-authoritarian. I mean, I have a base in the Libertarian Party, and I would say that most of that base are of the anti-authoritarian variety. They are, you know, libertarian is generally understood to be anti-state and an anti-statist perspective. And I have been against the state as an entity. I have been against the government and in their role of coercion forever, for my entire career. I mean, these things don't change, just the way I understand them in relation to the Libertarian Party and the Libertarian Liberty Movement. You know, I am against, you know, the prison industrial complex. You know, there's just against the police state. I mean, all of these things that have been innately part of my political beliefs forever, I just came to the realization. I mean, in 2008, you know, I started working, you know, because I had been working the New Hampshire primary for many years, and I found myself during the 2012, 2008, the Ron Paul years, that I would meet a lot of libertarians on the street. And New Hampshire is a small enough town that you have the Free State Project. I'm sure you're familiar with the Free State Project. But the beautiful thing about New Hampshire is that it's a small enough place that all the activists know all the activists. And all the Free State activists pretty much know all the Occupy activists, which it was one of my sort of original constituencies, if you will. And so they know each other personally, and they know each other personally. And so during the primaries or during demonstration and at different political events, presidential events, everybody would show up. The left would be showing up protesting from this perspective. The Free State movement was over here. So as Free State and occupiers united, not by philosophy, but in opposition to the candidates, because there's something to hate for everybody in all of these candidates. And so it is essentially the distaste for the status quo and for all the politicians that allows everybody to work together in a fairly personal way. And I think New Hampshire is unique almost in that sense, that there's not this viciousness between the various people working on the issues. I mean, they might disagree on the issues and on some philosophies, but once again, when you get down to it, when you get to the brass tacks, there is a lot that the people have in common.
So let me ask you something, because I hear this a lot. I hear this about me. Libertarians are selfish. You don't care about the poor. You don't care about helping people and all this other stuff, which sounds like that's kind of what you used to believe about libertarians. And there are those, but of course there's, you know, in any group, there are the extremists. I guess what was it about libertarians that made you think that? Because it's not really part of the platform.
Well, I suppose it's a problem perception. I think it's just maybe a common trope that that people see it, and I'm not sure exactly where it comes from. I think it that probably does come from the more extreme part. It's very difficult.
Is it maybe just because they're anti-government enforced socialism?
I think there's a mistake of the distaste and opposition to the welfare state because mm-hmm. people don't have the a big enough picture, and the free market just because in its various current incarnation, the crony capitalist system, the government the U.S. government interference, and what would perhaps be a magical capitalism, if you will, where everything would work out most awesome. It's hard for people to wrap their head around any other way. And perhaps the Libertarian Party simply does not or has not done a good enough job explaining the good works that the libertarians do, and the positive ways and the visions of how things could be or will be under a vermin supreme libertarian administration in America. I think the platform itself is a wondrous thing. I think ultimately a party is defined by its platform, and when I look at the platform, I think it says a lot, and it just lays it out. So perhaps people are just incurious as to seeing what the actual real part of it is. I don't know. I mean, maybe it's easier just to be a hater, and especially against this side or that side.
Yeah, I think there's definitely a first impression factor that goes into that. When you hear they're against welfare, they must hate poor people.
I think there is that. I think it's unless we as a party can effectively communicate how the poor people would not be left behind, how rising tide lifts all dead refugee children. Oh, sorry, I meant the. Yeah, slip of the tongue there.
Cool. So, you said you worked with Occupy a lot. How was that?
Well, once again, my work, when I say work with, I meant pretty much on the street, on the mm-hmm. street level, because I'm very First Amendment oriented person. I very much am a big proponent and activist. If anything else. I have always considered myself a First Amendment activist, especially in terms of assembly and free speech of the people, and any sort of time that the people come together to petition the government for a redress of their grievances, and in such a way that Occupy did in terms of occupying physically space as a vehicle to register their protest. I was totally down with that. Although I did make it only to Zuccotti Park once, but it was a very inspirational thing to see. It was very much like, are you familiar with the gatherings that the Rainbow Family of Living, Love, and Light put on?
Nope.
Okay, essentially, you should check them out. They're a very interesting alternative subculture, perhaps hippie more than anything else. But at the Nationals, you could have 10, 20, 30,000 people in the woods living in a national forest. You could have a dinner circle. You could have thousands, 4,000 people in circle, a dinner circle, 100 different kitchens in the woods, send down 5-gallon buckets of food to the people. The magic hat goes around. Everyone willingly and voluntarily throws what they can into the hat, because you can't buy things on the national land without endangering that constitutional right. And so, and then the money goes to the supply council. Supply council goes to the kitchen council. Kitchen council goes to the supply council. Supply council goes to bank council. They go to town, they buy the supplies, comes back to the kitchen, and goes around. It's a cycle. And so it's a non-commercial event. Everybody contributes. Everybody gets fed. Commerce cannot take place there other than a trade circle. There are trade circles, so that commerce does. But it's a very interesting alternative existence. Now, does capitalism occur there? No. But does that make it a not a thing? No. And essentially, it's where I learned in my youth everything that I knew about anarchy. It's an anarchistic organism. It's an event that exists with no leaders. No one is in charge. And the only time that it's a united front is when it's in direct opposition to the Forest Service and the law enforcement LEOs, who spend up to $1 million a year to manage this event. That is $1 million of taxpayer money.
Wow.
Specifically for the incident command team, of occupying force that spends the year following the rainbow gatherings around, because there's smaller ones here and there. And that is also where I learned that the gatherings allow a certain amount of freedom. It is where I learned a lot about my clowning abilities, because the people there are so open that you can pretty much do anything to elicit a laugh. And so I had a certain freedom to push things that way in a limit. After a while, I learned that one of the things that we have to provide for ourselves as an alternative society is security. And we call our peacekeeping service Shante Sena. And one of the things that we offer in our security duties is to escort police and escort media through the gathering to try and keep everybody safe, to warn the people, like, here come the cops. And tell the cops that they should really chill out. And so I would spend 8 hours a day walking with half a dozen different Alabama state troopers or various police, federal LEO officials, you know, head cheeses. And I would communicate with them. I would propagandize them. And that is where I learned that particular skill, and also where to bring the clowning into the security, and how to make fun of the cops and have fun with the cops. And I was able to transfer these skills that I had learned in the woods out into the streets, into riot world, and to be able to help people keep safe on the streets. Which, quite frankly,
I've seen that. So now I know where that came from.
Yes, it's a skill set which I've developed over the years, and it's something that has allowed me. Once again, my humor has allowed me to be extremely aggressive in the face of actual politicians, for example. It has allowed me to have access. The magic of the boot itself, the simplicity, the elegance of the boot, has amplified my voice millions of times. If I were just another person, just another normal cat in the suit and with the ties, talking, yelling, no, it would be there's another crazy person. But this crazy person, 5% bust people, 5%, I don't know, 6.5 million people. Sure, maybe, why not? 3.6 million high school kids graduate a year. Oh, let's see, in 2019 and 2020, that will mean about 7 million kids will be graduating high school. There's about 17 million kids in college in any given year. So that's a pool of, 24 million. And then you start adding on to other subcultures. My appeal is very wide and very shallow, perhaps. But as a protest candidate, I think it could work.
So as a protest candidate, what do you think your chances are of getting the Libertarian nomination? Because there's already, we got Johnson and Weld last time. You think it's possible?
Well, once again, the Libertarian Party, in a sense, is a protest party. It is a protest
to many libertarians, but to a lot of them, they're, because especially when we have like the Republican lights coming over, there are a lot of people who do take the party very seriously as not a protest vote, but as a third major party that they'd like to be.
I agree with that assessment. I believe the Libertarian Party is a serious party. It is an alternative party. And if we can get to the 5%, then we become officially a minor party. I think in the definitive scheme of the verbiage that the state uses to describe a 5% party. So yes, and I believe it is in the framing. The framing will be critical. I mean, it's something because I believe the Libertarian Party is serious, and I believe that their platform is a very serious party. I mean, a very serious platform, and I believe that what it states and stands for is very serious. And so I believe the framing of a vermin supreme candidacy would be critical. I mean, there are arguments to be made why I am the best candidate available, but there are certainly arguments and concerns against. And this is one of the main ones in my mind, and the main one that I've encountered, is people do not want to be perceived as a joke party. They do not want the Libertarian Party to be perceived as a joke party. So the question becomes, can a serious party nominate a joke candidate and not have that shit stick to them? And I believe it is all in the framing. And I believe that it can be framed where the Libertarian Party would say something along the lines of, we are the Libertarian Party. We are a serious party. We are a party of principles. We have a fundamental understanding of how society can work and for the betterment of humanity, how liberty is one of the most important things, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. However, in the pivot, the current duopoly, the presidential election system itself has become and is a joke. And therefore, with love and spite, we present to you Vermin Supreme. Now, that is the framing that I believe would be palatable. Well, I mean, any damage that I do to the party is simply incidental. I mean, when I have run as a Democrat in the past, the Republicans say, oh, look at the crazy Dem with a boot on his head. When I have campaigned as a Republican, the Dems have said, look at the crazy Republican candidate with a boot on his head. This the last election cycle, there was a meme of myself going around, and it said, this is what Bernie Sanders looks like to sane people. And it got, you know, it went around, it went viral. And then the exact same photograph with the different slogan, with the different words, they said, this is what Donald Trump looks like to sane people. And it also went viral. So there is that. But I believe that that can be overcome. And I believe that most people who are familiar with my work and most Americans who appreciate what I do on the political circuit for the past 30 years have a basic understanding of what it is that I am doing, what it is that I'm presenting. And if you go over any of the interviews I've done over the 30 years, I fluidly shift between the humor, but the fantasy, the ponies, the zombies, and real world issues. I think anybody who watches any interview that I've given can pretty much see that. And it allows me a certain advantage that other candidates simply don't have. It gives me an opportunity to pivot into fantasy at any moment or answer the question in depth or not. If I had have been asked, how do you feel about Aleppo? I could have answered, Aleppos, they're my favorite pony. And no harm would have been done. It would have been in the context of the campaign. In a sense, in addition to the tinfoil in my boot, there is also Teflon on a certain level. I believe that if chosen, I could have a significant impact. I could bring in a lot of young people into the party at the various conventions and such that I have appeared at and advertised my appearance. You know, I've gotten, you know, dozens of high school students locally out in Nebraska. You know, when I was running out in Kansas, an entire high school debate team of 30 students came out to hear me speak. So there are these things. And
Yes. Hi. Are we still on?
Is that the Russian collusion coming in over there?
Yes. Was I waxing poetic?
Yeah, no, those are all really good points. And, you know, it's you know, I've heard your serious side, and I think they're, you know, for what we have in our libertarian debates, they're always, oh, yeah, let's, you know, there's everyone sitting around kissing each other's asses, saying the same things. And it's like, what's the, I don't see for most of the candidates, I don't want to talk smack about anyone, but for you know, historically, the debates, you know, every once in a while we hear a couple good one-liners come out of it, but there's not like a whole lot of content. Everybody's just saying they're repeating the platform over and over. We're going to get rid of this, we're going to get rid of that. And, you know, and then we've got the half-assed libertarians who are like, yeah, but we got to have a little bit of taxes. Yeah, so I think, you know, what's really interesting, and I'm going to ask you another question in a minute, but what's really interesting about your pony, your pony money theory,
ponynomics.
Yeah. I was trying to make what do they call it? The new monetary theory, the new ponetary theory, is I've actually had really interesting conversations with people about socialism based on the merits of a free pony system. Where would the free ponies come from? Who's going to pay for them? Who's going to feed them and take care of them?
We're free.
You can have like it, what I thought was really interesting about this is you
let me state out because it sounds like the premise you're getting at is that free ponies somehow equate socialism. And let me assure you this fundamental misunderstanding, Ponynomics 101, the ponies are free. They don't cost anything. They cost nothing. They're at okay. I'm going to try and explain these in the simplest of
okay, terms. Okay. Let's say it is free.
Hold on there, Dan. When a boy pony loves a girl pony, they come together and they make beautiful love and they make baby ponies. They don't cost anything.
But do they Do they birth the baby ponies in a door-to-door style so that everybody gets one? Or does somebody have to kind of round them up and pick them up and deliver them? I think there's at least some delivery cost there.
During the transition times, all things are possible. Everything's on the table. I mean, there's several chapters I could read to you from my book, iPony, that talk about this issue. There will be ponies. There will be clonies. There will be massive in vitro fertilization programs, including test tube ponies. Pretty much every ungulate and equine will be carrying ponies. There will be clonies, like I say. There will be conversion kits for your current pets to make them more pony-like. We're going to be bringing in the human pony community. There will be robotic ponies. I don't know if you've ever seen any of the Boston Dynamics big dog.
Oh, yeah.
Robot, yeah. Now, do they look more like dogs or ponies? Seriously, no, they're ponies, and we're gonna put lots of like cute plush fur on them and the big anime eyes, and everybody's gonna love it. It might be plush for a while, but eventually, and once again, we're all working towards this utopia. I mean, many people in the party have this vision of what utopia looks like, what the end product, what the natural extension of their beautiful belief system is. And I think that's what everybody has in common. Everybody has an idea for a better place. And I think we're all working towards that. And my vision is one of ponies.
And it's unicorn conversion kits.
And unicorn conversion kits. That's absolutely right. Thank you.
Are those bolt-on or strap-on?
Well, they're like ice cream cones wrapped in tinfoil with the duct tape. So, but you know that's a low rent version. It's going to be. You'll be able to buy whatever you want with the pony currency, the Federal Pony Reserve, and you know all of these good things. There's nothing but goodness in the future for Ponynomics. In fact, the future is so bright that sometimes I just need welding goggles to keep my retinas from exploding. True story.
Nice. So, I guess those are some really good arguments to say that these aren't socialism. This isn't socialism.
I don't know why you keep going back to the socialism.
Well,
thing.
Because okay, so here's the conversation that I have with a lot of people. A lot of people who support the Free Pony program think it's a socialist program, and so. Wow. Or so when I first heard it, I thought it was a socialist program.
Well, it seems to have been co-opted by everybody from fucking Bernie Sanders to Hillary Clinton.
That's not helping.
No, not at all. But, I mean, I think the important thing is to know that I've introduced it into the political lexicon. The phrase free ponies would simply not exist if it weren't for my tireless pushing forward of the agenda. Now, I know Murray Rothbard was very much in favor of free ponies. It was in some of his lesser known writings that aren't really available these days. But I've talked to a number of libertarian historians, and they assure me that the party was essentially based on the premise of free parties and free market capitalism. Fight me if I'm wrong. So I think...
I mean, look, ponies want to be free too. If we're talking about freedom free, then...
Absolutely. The ponies are free also. You become more free with your ponies. Ponies equate freedom. Ponies and guns. And ponies with guns. Now, when my opponents say Vermin Supreme wants to take away your guns, I just want to take away your guns because I want to give you better ones, bigger ones, laser guns. So, you know, I mean, there's a lot of misconceptions, sure. But it's in the communication strategy. I mean, you got to believe in the invisible hoof of the marketplace. It will. It's going to deliver it to you. You're going to get it.
So let me ask you, and this is a potentially dangerous question because it might divide your audience. Where do you stand on pineapple pizza?
To each his own. You know, I'm not. I don't need to take a stance. Your personal liberty is guaranteed under a Vermin Supreme Ministry. You want to do it, whatever. If you don't, what? I'm not going to throw you from a helicopter. Okay, it's all good.
All right, fair enough.
I will not violate the NAP because of your preference of alternative pizza. I will not bring in agents of the state. I will not SWAT you because of your pizza preference. I think that's it's a red herring. It's an issue that has come forth. It's meant to divide us, and I believe that we must not be divided. We must be united. And that's why I believe Vermin Supreme, I am a uniter. I'm not a divider. I can bring all of the caucuses together. Am I right, people? Raise your hand.
Yeah, I hear some, I see some, oh, that's good comments coming in.
Because I want to be the candidate of all of the caucuses, okay? All of them.
You can have as many caucuses as you want.
You are like in a caucus. I don't want to be the nominee for you. I want you to consider being a Vermin Supreme delegate. Yes, I'm going to ask you that right now because you know deep in your heart that you want to see me up on that debate stage.
Oh,
you
absolutely.
And you there's a lot of people that don't want to see it too. But I'm going to be there for them also. Thank you.
You absolutely have my support to get on that debate stage because I think what you do have to say, the funny side and the serious side are pretty important.
Thank you.
So yeah, and if I weren't running, you'd have my vote. And if we get, and I'm going to ask you to support this. What's it called? The I can't even think of approval voting. Are you familiar with approval voting?
Yes, I am.
So. For some reason, we have approval voting in like almost every part of libertarian conventions and everything else, except for the presidential election, for some reason, and some of the other big elections. What I'd like to see is the ability for us to have approval voting for the presidential nomination, because I think that's where, you know, that caused so much chaos, only having one vote. That, you know, everybody, it was basically Gary Johnson had almost exactly 50% and everybody else was spread out among, four or five other candidates. So
yeah, sounds like the duopoly.
Yeah, exactly. So that's one of the things that I'd like to support at the convention And if we can get that approved and we basically get more than one vote, then you absolutely have one of my votes.
Well, thank you very much. And likewise, why the hell not?
Awesome.
Quid pro quo, baby. Quid pro quo.
I just bought a vote.
One washes the other.
So let's see. Rod Weber is saying, you know, Rod, Ron Paul was anti-time travel. Is that true?
Well, in 2012, there is video existing of one of my Ron Paul encounters. And although he did, in fact, say he supported mandatory toothbrushing law, and when I asked him how he would pay for it, he did, in fact, respond that he would print up lots more money. It's on video. It's true. He said it. He confided in me. And then when I asked him if he would go back in time with me to kill baby Hitler, he did respond, and I quote, "Sounds risky." I think he's signaled his driver to pull away real fast.
Now, I got to ask this. Why do you keep insisting that you want to go back in time and kill baby Hitler when baby Hitler hasn't committed any crimes yet?
Well, you know, just because he's an evil baby. Look at him. Evil.
I mean, wouldn't you want to help him get into art school or something?
That's for pansies. Forget about it, bucko. This is real world. Real men kill baby Hitler.
Let's see.
Just ask Jeb. Jeb Bush. He'll do it. He's going to go back with me.
Justin O'Donnell is asking, are you going to run as a delegate yourself?
Well, since Mr. Weld has left the party, there may be a delegate opening in the Massachusetts. Perhaps, yes. Sure, why not? I don't know. What do I got to do?
You stand around and watch people argue over commas. It's you know it's funny. People look at us and say this is why nobody takes the libertarians seriously. And I go to a convention and I watch them argue over a comma for 5 hours, and I'm like, no, this is why nobody takes us seriously.
Very important commas.
Yeah, I don't know. All right.
Now, of course, I haven't approached my tax reform. I know tax is very important.
I love taxes. Yeah, let's hear about it.
Of course, part of it does involve not making the taxation not being theft. I want to make taxation death to appeal to the young kids. I believe that people will voluntarily and willingly pay their taxes if they're entered into a lottery. More lotteries. People love the lottery. People love to voluntarily buy those little scratch tickets. So with your W-2 form, you'd also get a whole bunch of scratch tickets. And I think that'll be a ball game changer, quite frankly. If you fill out your taxes and, you know, you could win. You got to play to win. And if you win, well, you could be America's next millionaire. Play the tax sweepstakes.
And you know what's interesting about the lottery is the odds are so slim that nobody can win, right? Or like one in, you know, you have like 10 lotteries without a single winner until someone finally gets like $1 billion. What if we rearranged the lottery so that it wasn't so much, so it wasn't so difficult to win? So maybe it was only like 4 numbers that you pick. So now you have more people, because the odds are more likely you're going to win. You have more people buying more tickets, and when they actually win, they're divided among more people, which means they get less. But at the same time, if you sell 100 times as many tickets, the jackpots are now $100 billion. And so everybody's like, I don't care if I only get a tenth of that or a hundredth of that.
So what you're saying is that we should run lotteries for taxes with ponies.
I mean, if it's voluntary, yeah, I don't see why throwing ponies in there would be a bad idea.
Cool.
It could be, we could, lotteries are basically gambling, so what about pony racing? I mean, if we legalize that.
Well, I think that would be rush hour on the highway, shit. Of course, that's every day. That's your daily commute to work is the pony race. Woohoo!
There you go. And you're going to save so much money on gas that you'd have
absolutely
extra money to throw on that.
Gone. Oil pipelines, repurposed as pneumatic tubing for human and pony transportation. Public transportation, private transportation, pony-based, by the pony, for the pony, with ponies, pony.
Will there be pony Uber?
Yeah, of course. There's going to be pony everything. It's going to be just like today, just like your everything now, but ponies instead of everything. Everything that you your car will be a pony. You'll walk, your house will be retrofitted for the pony. I mean, it's a huge for the trade industry, converting pony conversion to domiciles. It's a pony based economy is truly a stable economy. There's absolutely no doubt about it. And I think it's the one thing that that can unite the left and the right is ponynomics. Thank you. iPony, of course, the book, iPonyBook.com. Go to verminsupreme.com if you want to donate to the campaign. It's probably the easiest way because it's a redirect, and there's some nice pictures on there. And I'm on the internet. I'm on Twitter at Vermin Supreme, on the Facebook. I got the blue check mark on the thing, the Vermin Supreme for President thing. I got about 100,000 followers, man. That's a lot, right? Sure. I've got like 15,000, 16,000 Twitters. I mean, I got Instagrams I don't even run. I got it going on, baby. We're stick with me, and I will take you to the top of the 5% space limit. Thank you.
Awesome. So if I'm going to help you out here against my own benefit. If anybody would like to volunteer for your campaign, where's the best place for them to reach you?
You would probably DM me or at Twitter me, and I could hook you up to several of the channels that we got going on. That would be the easiest way. I will find you. Once I get that delegate list in my greasy little fingers, expect to hear from me, each and every one of you. Thank you. I want to seal the deal. I want to talk to you directly, and I want to convince you why you want to be a delegate for me, and why I am the best pony, why my candidacy can bring the Libertarian Party into the 23rd century and beyond.
Yeah, I mean, that's if we can make it that far, that's a good deal.
It's reasonable. I mean, you know, it's not that far-fetched. I mean, it's doable, you know. We all pull together like a team and shit. And
I don't know if the country's going to be here in the 23rd century, but we'll see.
Okay.
All right. Awesome. Well, it's been great talking with you. And I'm going to go ahead and stick all your links and your PayPal email in the Actually, no, I'm not going to stick your PayPal because, well, do you want me to? Because that's how you get scraped up for spam.
Just, the verminsupreme.com. Okay. Verminsupreme.com. And that you can say donate. It will, and it's a redirect. So
gotcha.
That will do it for you.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, I've got the books, got the glitter ties. Look for we're striking up a partnership with Glow Fuck Me. We should have a line of boot-based sex toys, including the boot butt plug and perhaps the boot fleshlight type device where you can actually stick your dick in the boot for your own sexual satisfaction.
Does it?
And so we got a lot of good things coming
Does
on.
Does it curve at the end?
True story. I'm not making it up. That's the funny thing about it. Anyway, thanks a lot, Dan.
All right.
Everybody out in Facebook land. We'll catch you. See you on the internet and stay in touch. And I'll be saying the same shit probably on the LM community and every other damn libertarian podcast I'll be doing in the very near future, trying to make that case that, you know what it is. Thank you very
All
much.
Right.
In my wildest dreams, I just never thought I would be anywhere this close. To global domination. Together, we will ride our ponies into a zombie-powered future. Good night!
Good night.
Taxation is theft.
Please, at least leave us alone in our living room.
My job is to find the truth.
Double the taxes.
I'm a human being! God damn it! My life has value!
Triple the taxes.
This is an IRS agent's dream.
If you think that the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourself.
Beautiful, lovely taxes.
Sorry, but I don't do taxes.
Did you see
the memo about this?
The government is a greedy piglet.
Just leave us alone.
Do you know what Ralph just said?
Rhodes!
You boys like Mexico?